For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is a podcast from Minute Media.
You're listening to the Eyes on Isles podcast with Matt O'Leary and Mitch Anderson.
Hello and welcome to the Eyes on Isles podcast, episode number 230. How about that? What's going on? I am Matt O'Leary. He is Mitch Anderson. Mitch, what's up, friend?
Feeling better. You can hear it in the voice. It sounds good. There's still one like stupid little, like, it sounds gross, but it's mucus, right? Like stuck in like the back kind of throat. You know where like the nasal cavity connects with the throat type of thing?
Oh yeah.
Right in there. There's one little kind of like, ha, you're not cured yet. Screw. I want to say a bad word here and I didn't want to spit it out. But anyways, I want to spit this out. I just want it out. So I'm horking around the... It sounded like a cat with a hairball going around my house trying to get this thing out. And anyways, so just that little thing. It's probably no bigger than like my pinky nail type of thing. Screwing up my entire life right now. So that's my life. What about you?
Well, I'm glad you're on the mend because we had a couple weeks in a row where we were, EOI was struggling a little bit. So I'm glad we're almost back to full strength. Busy week for me as on Saturday... as of this past Saturday, gambling became legal in New York State, sports betting. And obviously, I work for a sports betting company. So it's been a very hectic few days for us, but all good things. So
yeah, busy professionally. So that's good. You know, gets the monies in, gets paid somehow.
Exactly. So we're going to transition. We'll get into the show. We have a lot to get into today. We're going to talk about the Islanders' schedule, what it looks like right now. Standings wise, and then we have some few other things to get into. So let's look. Actually, let's start here. Are they playing tomorrow? Yes or no?
That is a really good question, right? So right off the hop, right, we have to talk about, like, are they playing? Because they're scheduled to play the New Jersey Devils at home. And by all accounts, the game is going to happen. But there are like seven players for the New Jersey Devils in COVID protocol right now. You got Blackwood, Bastian, Zacha, Sarangovich, Johnson, Hamilton, Gerson. And Pavel Zacha just came out, right?
Yep.
I think, not Zacha. Nico Hischier, I believe, just came out.
Yeah, one of them did. I saw somebody come out. I don't remember which of the two, but it was one of
let's
them.
Let's assume it's Zacha. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So let's say it's 6 to 7 players in COVID protocol right now for the New Jersey Devils. And they just placed Blackwood today, was it not?
Yes.
It's growing. Right now, it's growing. And they're going to be in on Long Island. I was going to say in UBS, but that sounds weird. So like on Long Island to play the Islanders, and I don't know if it's going to happen.
No, I don't know. I want them to play because it's been since January 1st, one game since the year the calendars flipped to 2022. It's been 12, or it will be 12 days. It's been, I guess, 11 technically now, but it feels like forever. It really does.
But it does, because if you extend it further than that, they've played two games in 24 days. Right? They played, like you said, on the 1st against the Edmonton Oilers, and then they played December 21st, I'm going to say, against the Vegas Golden Knights.
They had Buffalo on the 30th.
Did they actually play Buffalo? Really?
Yeah, but they won 4-1 on the 30th, no?
I totally forget that game even happened. It completely blanked out of my mind that game even happened. Now that you're saying it, it's in there. I can see the little kind of like highlights, but when I was looking at the schedule, I just glanced over that game. I was like, nope, that didn't happen. But you're right, it sure as heck did. So it's three games in 24 days.
No, it's insane just the amount of, or the lack of games, I guess. It's unbelievable. But let's talk about their schedule coming up. As we kind of already established, they're supposed to play tomorrow or today by the time you're listening to this. And then you have games against on Saturday against Washington, And then again, home and away against the Flyers on the 17th and the 18th. So those are obviously divisional games and a chance to make up some points.
Yeah, those games mean a whole heck of a lot, assuming they happen. Also, I believe Philly's going through some stuff COVID-wise. They had games called off recently as well. So things are going on there with Philly. Who knows? And if Philly can't play right now, like the Islanders have three games with the Flyers over the next week. Plus, right from the 17th to the 25th, they play them three times. That's a lot of games that are just going to now be up in the air, potentially. But assuming they play, you're right. These are divisional games. They're four-point games. But we're talking about the two teams immediately ahead of them in the standings.
Yeah, it's a big deal because, like you said, they're right in front of them. Obviously, the Islanders have a bunch of games in hand. They have eight games in hand to New Jersey and seven to Philly. And they trail them by 7 points.
Right. Like the games in hand is absolutely wild. And obviously everyone has eyes on the first wild card spot or the last wild card spot, I guess, if you look at it that way. And that's where the Islanders want to be, in a wild card spot. What is the closest one to them? It's the lowest one. But like everyone has pointed out, and rightfully so, they have to jump a bunch of teams ahead of them. So yes, they do have to catch the Boston Bruins, but they've also got to leapfrog the Red Wings, Blue Jackets, Flyers, and Devils, who are right ahead of them. Now, they've got some ground to make up, like you pointed out. They've got a bunch of games or a bunch of points back of the New Jersey Devils and the Flyers. Assuming they win their games against them, they still doesn't put them ahead of those teams. It narrows the gap significantly, but that's all they're concerned with right now. It's at the very least, you got to narrow the gap, because if you can't do that, there ain't no chance.
No, exactly. You have to, like, the time is now. It's mm-hmm. been time, but specifically right when you come back, as you mentioned, Devils right in front of you, Philly right in front of you. If you come out and you're flat and you're, I don't know, 1-2-1 in your next four games, you might as well just say we're not going to play February, March, and April, because you've dug yourself. It's too deep at that point. You need to come out of this and you need to play well. And for the most part, the Islanders are healthy COVID-wise. They have someone who's injured right now and can't play, in Ryan Pulock, out with COVID, and Barry Trotz, who left, came back, and then got COVID and is going to miss probably the next two games. So it'll be Lane Lambert here for a little bit. But at least, like, it's pretty much the same team that they've been dealing with since, I don't know, late December, I guess.
Yeah, and, like, things are going well for them right now. They're on a two-game winning streak. They're 5-2-3 over the last 10. When you look at the last 10, the only two teams or three teams that are better than them in the wild card standings, I guess, is Pittsburgh-Boston, the top two teams for the wild card, and the Ottawa Senators, who are 6 points back of the Islanders. So, like, we don't have to worry about the Senators being a factor, I would assume. So those are the only three teams that are better than the Islanders right now. So that means the Red Wings, Blue Jackets, Flyers, and Devils are not. And they really aren't, right? Devils 4-6-0 recently. Philly 4-3-3. Worse for Columbus at 3-6-1, and Detroit at 3-5-2. Like, all of these teams are cooling down. So when the Islanders have games on them, and they've got games in hand on all of these teams, quite a few games in hand for some of them, these games coming up mean a whole lot. Not just 4-point games, but they mean a lot in terms of just la morale, like we say in French. Just so you look at it and you say, like, I feel good about myself because we've got some more wins and we're building up into something better.
Yeah, the morale of the team. There you go. It's perfect.
Yeah.
It translates.
I guess there's an English word for that.
No, it translates. You're right. But looking at this stretch, and there's a lot of home games once the Islanders come back, which is a great thing. So over their next, let's count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 games. 10 of them are at home.
Yeah, they got the one away to Philly. That's the one away game.
Yeah, and that's a two-hour drive. Like, it is an away game, but outside of, like, the Rangers or New Jersey, that's probably your best shot at an away game. It's not like you're flying somewhere and staying overnight. You're probably, you know, driving, and it's a day of it, you know?
Yeah, the tough away schedule isn't until April, where they've got an 8-game road trip. What are we doing here? A 13-game road trip to start the year and basically an 8-game road trip to end the year. They have 10 away games in April. Four of them are at home. What are we doing here?
Yeah, I don't know. That one doesn't make any sense at all.
Right? Like, they couldn't, you know, sprinkle it around the rest of the year? Nah, get it at the start and at the end. Done. What? Right? Because it's 18 games, so we're talking about 21 games total on the road. In two, like, at the start and the end. Oh, my God. That's insane.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough stretch of games, too. We don't have to look that far ahead, but it's just...
No.
It's frustrating.
Strength of schedule doesn't look good.
No. At that point, it really doesn't. So now's your freaking time, man. The Islanders usually cook at home. Obviously, that wasn't the case early to open UBS, but there were some other issues. But this is a team that's usually very good at home. And if they're scoring goals like they were, you know, in December, I think you have a pretty good chance. I mean, you look back at some of these games, 3-4, 3-3, 1, but then 4-3, 5. Like, that's some pretty good goal scoring. Usually we know once the Islanders get to 3 goals, they're in pretty good shape.
That's usually the case. So since December 1st, just because you brought it up, and I think that's a good line to put in the sand to evaluate where they are as it stands now. Where do they stand now offensively? Not good. I'm rolling down the list. 26th for goals for. They're 26th in the NHL since December 1st in goals for. That is not good. Well, they need to do better. 18th in goals for per game.
I was going to say do goals for game because they haven't played in forever.
That's true. So 18th, that's a little bit better. So they're right there in the middle of the pack. And goals against, obviously you want to see that number be super low. And it is. They are. Let me reverse their ranking here. Come on. Let's go. Eighth for goals against per game. And that's what you want to see from the Islanders. They're dealing with 3 goals for per game on average, 2.91. Just under 2.5 goals against per game, so 2.36. That's winning hockey for the Islanders.
Right. If the Islanders can keep it in top 10 in goals against and be around the middle of the pack in goals for, and, you know, same with the power play. We have had the number since, December 4th, how much better the power play has been.
Yeah.
And if you're around middle of the pack there, too, then the Islanders will be fine. But it's a matter of keeping it at that pace.
That's really it. So, like, they need to continue doing what they've been doing so far. And you touched on it earlier, right? Like, we're going to have most of the team around for this, we expect, right? Like, COVID could still hit, but if you take out the players who've already got it, because the likelihood of them getting it again isn't very high, although Connor McDavid got it twice, so...
It's possible.
It's certainly possible. But let's, you know, fingers crossed, let's not assume that. You know, there's still a possibility here, but we're not talking about, like, 8 guys are going to be going out and all of them are gone. So, like, I don't know. I like the Islanders' chances as they come back with a nearly full health squad. Going into some very important stretch of games against some teams that are directly ahead of them in the standings that they need to pass. Just as kind of like a measuring stick, going like, we did it, we passed them, we're good, we're trending in the right direction. You know, they passed Buffalo the other day, good. Now let's do New Jersey. That's going to take a little bit, not just one game, but, you know, you got to take it one game at a time here.
Yeah, exactly. At this point, you just have to do one game at a time. I know it's a cliche, but you just got to look at what's in front of you right now.
Yeah, and like that applies to anyone, right? That's why the cliche works, because even the championship teams, the teams at the top of the standings, they're not like, Stanley Cup, baby, because they know once they start doing that, Stanley Cup, baby, ain't going to happen. Look at the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah, it happens, unfortunately. So you can't, you know, count your eggs before they hatch. What's the expression? I think that works for it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You can't count your, like, this is going to be a good one. And they're like, yoink, you got nothing in it. Because you didn't, you know, like, you can't just rest on your laurels. Every team is like that, from the championship teams to the ones at the bottom. They have to take it one game at a time and hope to God it turns around, just like the Islanders.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So we'll see. Obviously, important games here over the next little while, and a lot of it's home cooking. So hopefully that helps. Anything else on just the return and schedule looking forward?
No, like, again, right, can't wait, right? Three games in 24 days. That's insane. 3 games in basically a month. That's so effing long.
It is. So with that, do you want to transition and get into some of the trade rumors a little bit?
Yeah, I think we have to talk about that.
So there's two defensemen kind of on the block, or at least the Twitter trade block. So we'll talk through them. Mitch has wrote about both of them, so why don't you get us started here?
So the guys we're talking about, no lie or no secret, I should say, is Jacob Chychrun, or do you call it Chychrun? I don't know. I'd say Chychrun. I don't know if it's right or not.
I say Chychrun, too.
Maybe I should look on Hockey Reference. I'm going to do this now live on the fly. Hockey, because they have a pronunciation key, don't they?
Usually.
Oh, they used to. Oh, yeah, there it is. Okay. So Jacob Chychrun. Where is he? There he is. Or is it Chychrun? More bio. They say Chychrun.
Okay.
So there you go. And we know. According to Hockey Reference, it's Chychrun. Anyways, so the two guys that we're talking about, Jacob Chychrun and John Klingberg, are out there. Apparently, though, with Klingberg, he didn't actually ask for a trade. He's just telling management to get off their, you know, their butts and get him a contract because he's looking to sign and they haven't done anything yet. But either way, they're both out there. So should the Islanders go after either one of those two guys?
That's where the debate comes in. With Chychrun, it's that one is so appealing because they need help on the left side behind Adam Pellick, and he's young and controllable at cost. His cap hit is $4.6 million from the blue line, and he had 18 goals in 56 games last year. Once again, this isn't a forward. This is from the blue line, playing 23 and a half minutes last year and 24.50 this year.
He's on what team as well, right?
On Arizona. Right. And, like, obviously people are going to say, he's a minus 29, but, I mean, it's Arizona. Who the hell cares? It's not going to be comparable to what he'd be doing on the Islanders or any team that's not a, I don't know, bottom three team in the league.
Nick Leddy was a minus 42 one year.
Right. And now people are crying that Nick Leddy's gone.
Right. And it's no, sorry, I laugh not to make fun of them because they're not wrong. Like, I would like Nick Leddy here, but, like, that wasn't going to happen. We all know that.
It's just the irony.
Yeah, exactly. So, and plus minus is a bad stat. Like, he's on a bad team. We know that. The negative really reflects that. To me, the argument here is we need scoring from the back end, I suppose. Like, I think everyone is still stuck on the argument of what the Islanders needed from October. Right? Like, mm-hmm. We need a left-hand shot, puck-moving defenseman. And so they want one. That's what they're looking at right now. And I get it, because Chychrun is a left-hand defenseman. He's got goals in his pocket. He's, like you said, young, controllable, and he's got a really nice cap hit. So that is the appealing one there. That's why I don't understand why we would go for John Klingberg. Not only is he not young, he's not controllable because he becomes a UFA. He's not cheap. Right now he is at 4.25, but he will no longer be that, again, UFA, pending UFA. And he's a right shot defenseman. And I know I've got it right this time. I've got it in front of me as I'm saying it. I always screw up left and right, but he's a right shot defenseman, and the Islanders do not need that with Ryan Pollock, Noah Dobson, and Scott Mayfield. Obviously, someone will say, like, well, lose Scott Mayfield for John Klingberg. Cool, but, like, Scott Mayfield still serves a role that needs to be serviced on this team. You can't just be like, screw penalty killers and guys that play defense. You can't do that.
No, yeah, obviously. And, like, it's nothing against Klingberg, who's obviously he's a very, very good player. I just don't think it makes sense on this team. They don't need a righty. They don't need someone who's approaching 30 and going to need a new contract. That's, I don't know. Again, good player, but when you take in the full context, I don't think that one really makes sense at all.
No, and then you got to consider, what is it going to cost to get this guy? What is it going to cost in the trade deadline to get John Klingberg, who's ninth in scoring since 2015 for defensemen?
Yeah. It's going to be a lot.
Yeah, you're talking about a first, at minimum a first and another piece. Minimum. We're talking minimum. This is even like Jim Neal is not going to hang up the phone if you throw that at him. He'll be like, all right, well, how about this and that extra? Probably. So you're going, all right, well, we're giving up a first and something else at the very least for John Klingberg. How long do we get him for? Right. And then is Lou going to be like, let me give you that $66 million deal you're looking for? I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either. But comparatively with Chitrin, it's more appealing because he's, as we already mentioned, he's cheap, but for multiple more years, and he's still young. So to me, that if you're going to do for one of the two, it's him. Now, you get into the whole other conversation of should they even be trading for a defenseman? Should they be trading for a scoring winger? And that is also a valid argument.
Yeah, the only problem with the argument with the scoring winger, and that's an argument I'm putting forward. I am of camp get a winger instead of a get a defenseman. It's that there aren't necessarily them available. Like, is there another Jacob Chychrun out in the market right now for a scoring winger, like a comparable?
No.
I don't think so.
No, absolutely not. There isn't one.
That's the only issue, right? Like, the best winger, if I'm looking at the fourth period, has a trade watch list right now, so I'm basing myself off of that. The top 25 guys, the first scoring winger you can maybe talk yourself into is Jake DeBrusk. And like, I'm not good. He had a really good season once, right? Like, was it 3 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah. In 2018-19, had 27 goals, 42 points in 68 games. That's pretty darn good, right? 27 divided by 68 times 82. That's a 33-goal scorer and 51-point player.
He's basic. I feel like he's, I don't know, he's Boston's version of Anthony Beauvillier.
Yeah, if Anthony Beauvillier could get together for an entire year.
But that's the thing. It seems like neither could DeBrusk except for that 1 year.
Yeah, true. And like, we've got one of those, right? We've already got Anthony Beauvillier. So do we need another one? No, we need someone better than that. We need Tarasenko in his prime, which is kind of what's going on right now. But is St. Louis really going to trade Tarasenko in season?
No, that was a before season thing, if it was going to happen.
Yeah, well, maybe if they were bad, but last I checked, they are not bad. I'm just going to pull up the standings just to make sure I'm not making a fool of myself here. But I'm pretty sure they're in a playoff position in the West. They are third in the West, or sorry, in the Central. Like,
yeah,
they're not moving him.
No, obviously, they're definitely not.
So then the options just went from no one to, like, I guess it's going to have to be a winger, a defenseman. But then you get into, like, do we want to move, like, the 3 to 4 pieces it's going to take to get Jacob Chychrun? And for what? What's the play here exactly?
I think the play then would be it helps you not only now but in the future too. I don't know, is that enough for you?
I guess, but like, to me, it's got, if you're going to be playing Jacob Chychrun, that means someone's going to have less offensive time. And so who's getting less offensive time? And if the guy that is taking the hit offensively in terms of time is someone who isn't very good offensively, fine. But that is either Noah Dobson or Ryan Pulock.
I guess so, right?
I know they're both righties and Chychrun is not a righty. But you have to balance the righty-lefty roles. So let's assume they bring in Chychrun, right? We're not even talking about the cost. Let's just say they bring him in.
Okay.
What are the pairings? It can't be Chychrun-Dobson. Mm. This has got to be like Chychrun-Pulock. Or Chychrun-Mayfield?
I hope not. I hope not. I think I'd rather do Chychrun-Pulock and then Pelech-Dobson.
Right. So that means in the balance of offense, defense, you can't have like two guys just straight out offense. You've got to give Pulock the defensive role because he's really good at it. Mm-hmm. So that means maybe a little bit less offense out of him. So if that's the balance you at home are willing to make, cool, fine. Then if that's the play you're willing to make that trade. Fine. I'm kind of iffy on that because I know if Ryan Pulock plays to his potential that we've seen before, he can get 10 to 12 goals, and that's perfectly fine for the New York Islanders, and they can keep those four pieces that they've got. Or maybe use three of those to get a top-end winger.
Yeah, I think the only issue is, like, in theory, yes, I agree. I'd probably prefer a top-flight winger, I just don't. I don't think there's one available, and I think you'd be settling.
True. That is the main sinking point to like the Achilles heel of my argument, right? Like I could charge into war like Achilles, like I'm going to kill you just single handedly, and someone goes like, and none's available, chink, and it hits me right in the ankle, and done, I'm dead. Yeah, or the heel.
Either or,
what
both.
Am I talking about? Same general weakness, which really reflects my overall weakness. Just hit me anywhere and it kind of fall anyways.
No, but it's understandable. But it's again, like I'm frustrated. I find myself frustrated now because I would love, like I see on Twitter all the time, that the Islanders need to get a scoring winger in here. Outside of Vladimir Tarasenko, who's not getting moved in season, who are you trading for?
That's the thing. I know I bring up Line A, that's the one I want, but like that again, that's not necessarily something Columbus is going to do right now. Maybe at the trade deadline if they continue being bad, because they have to re-sign him, right? They qualified him to this whatever deal, and I don't know if they're going to want to do that, but he'd be perfect. Is that what the Islanders want to do? Is that something Columbus is willing to do? I don't know. Yes, they might be doing bad, but like they've got a 24-year-old 40 to 50 goal scorer on their team. You don't give those up for nothing.
No, I don't think so, but who knows? I mean, he was moved once. He was in the doghouse at Tortorella. I know they have a new coach in there now, but it's just, I don't know. That's maybe the only one, the other one, I guess. But as you said, like, are they going to want to move him to a division opponent?
Yeah, you're right. Division opponent is a nice little caveat to put on that. Who knows, right? But to your point originally, I'm focusing on Patrick Laine. It's not because someone has said Patrick Laine is available. So outside of him, who is available? No one.
Yeah, that's it. The end of list.
That's really end of list. Like, you can say Vladimir Tarasenko all you want, but again, third in the Central Division, ain't no way they're trading him right now. And no way he's going to want to do that either. I'm in a playoff position. Why am I going anywhere?
Yeah, no, he's probably good where he is too. So
yeah, I'll wait till the offseason. Thank you very much.
Yeah, so Islanders kind of stuck in no man's land right now.
They really are. And like that kind of makes sense too, right? When you look at where they are in the standings. Why would you make a big money move right now anyways? Why would you trade for, let's say, Chychrun? Let's just one point at a time here. Me regulating myself here. If you're trading for Chychrun, you're giving off a first, you're giving off Bo, you're giving off probably a high prospect, probably someone like Aaltonen, and something else. Who says those pieces you can't use? Like that first round pick. We keep talking about the prospect pool not being really good. This is a good draft. If you're not going to be a good team, use that draft pick, baby.
Yeah, that's true.
Even like a 10th or 12th pick. Look at what some of those guys are doing right now, right? Like Oliver Wallstrom, Noah Dobson are doing pretty darn good.
Yep. No, you're right. And then that would really help the prospect pool, which, as we all know, isn't the hottest at the moment.
It isn't. And you also help yourself in the later years, right, where you get positive contributions, positive value from guys who are making a lot of money. Like we saw the Athletics list today, and we wrote about it on the site today. Oliver Wallstrom, Noah Dobson giving the team like $9 million in found value because they're playing like $5 to $6 million players, but they're only costing the Islanders less than one each.
Yeah.
That's found money. You need to get those in an economy like the NHL is in right now.
That's true. Like how long did we talk about getting good value on ELC guys?
For years. And now we're finally getting it, right? And not just those guys, Kiefer Bellows as well. I didn't see his value. I don't think he got one because he doesn't play a whole lot, but like he's definitely getting money value right now.
Absolutely. So, is there anything else on either of these two guys that you want to hit on?
No, I think we hit on it. We can sit here and debate like, oh, we shouldn't have this guy or this pick in there. I hate debating what should be in or out of a trade package because it's so subjective.
Yep.
And like, it's really talking about semantics. I would rather discuss like we did about, well, what should we actually be going for here and what's the actual goal?
Gotcha. No, absolutely. So with that, I guess down on the farm time.
Yeah. Okay. So there's not a whole, there's one big thing. I keep saying there's not a whole lot going on, but there's one big thing that's happening on the farm right now, and it's Ben Moragis.
Yeah. What's the story there?
I don't know. I have no idea. You could convince me of anything, that he's signing, that something bad happened. I don't know what is happening. I've reached out to him. I'm checking my phone again. He has not reached back to me to let me know what's going on. And, you know, why would he? I guess I've only spoken to him the once, but I don't know what's going on there. He left Providence. He is no longer with Providence after deciding to stay for a fifth year. I don't know if it's because they got a new defenseman in that might be chewing into some ice time and he's going like, why am I staying here if I'm not getting ice time? I don't know if it's the Islanders decided to sign me and I'm going to go. I don't know if it's something off ice that happened. I don't know what happened here at all. And no one seems to know.
Hopefully it's not something bad. Hopefully it's, hey, I got a contract.
I don't think so. Like, I've been snooping around trying to find some things out. Obviously, if I found something out that was really bad, I probably wouldn't. Well, I know I wouldn't say anything. But like, I don't see any signs of anything awful happening. But that doesn't mean that I've found every sort of, I've turned over every single stone possible. I've tried every single stone that I know exists. I've turned over to try to find something, and I haven't found anything yet. There's something going on. We just don't know what the heck is happening.
Yeah, that was a weird one because I saw that. When was that? 2 days ago?
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, that kind of seemed to come out of the blue and catch people off guard.
It did. The timing is really weird, right? We're January 12th. There's still half the season to go for the NCAA for Providence, who, let me check the standings here. I believe they're doing pretty well. I don't think they're one of the best teams in their division, but I think they're decent enough. Where are they here? They're fourth in the Hockey East. So, like, they're a good side, and he decides to leave. Now, it is, like, mid-semester type thing, right? So, like, the first semester just finished. They're about to start the second semester, and he leaves between the two. So, at first, the timing seemed weird, but the more I think about it, you're like, obviously, the best timing would be at the end of the season, but this seems like a pretty good time if there was one. But outside of that, I don't know what's going on, man. I have no idea. He was having an okay year, and then it's just gone? What the heck is going on here?
Yeah, that's the thing, because it wasn't like there was some, like, I don't know, he's like, he's having a brutal season or anything like that where he just completely fell off the rails. It again, I'm going to use the same word. It seemed to come out of nowhere.
It does. And, like, the press release from the team doesn't really leave me with a lot of positive vibes. Like, usually when a player leaves to go and sign somewhere, they're congratulatory, right? They say, like, congrats, thank you very much. The press release from the club, or the team, I should say, was just kind of like, he left, we wish him luck. Done.
Okay, so they don't give you much.
They did not say much, and it didn't leave anyone with a good taste in their mouth. Now, that's not, that's, again, it's speculation, and I hate doing that, but at this point, there's nothing, and I've tried to find something, and I haven't found anything yet. Of course, we're not filling the blanks to say this is what probably happened. It's just something happened, we don't know what, and, like, you could convince me of any way. I could feel positive, I could feel negative about it. I keep hoping for the positive, but I haven't seen anything yet.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. It's definitely something we're going to have to keep an eye on, but I don't know. Right now, it's just speculation.
Yeah. Last thing I want to bring up in the prospect corner here down on the farm is that Aturatu scored a point today in a 4-1 win for Ukrit, who now just leapfrogged Karpat in the standings. And ooh. I know he's not going to be like, yes, because he wanted to stay there type of thing. That recently came out as well. Like, he wanted to stay. He didn't want to move. He wanted to keep playing for Karpat till the end of the contract, no matter what. But now that they're ahead of them, not just because of him, but obviously a key factor for Ukrit, it's got to feel a little good to be like, y'all doubted me, and I've got like 17 points in 16 games with this new team, above 50% of faceoff win, and we just leapfrogged you in the standings, and we have a game in hand. Lulz.
Yeah. That's the irony is there, which I'm sure he's a big fan of.
Yeah, I haven't asked him about that, and I don't plan on it, because no. I'm sure he's just going to be like, He has nothing but respect for Carpot. Nothing but respect for Carpot. He's happy where he is now, and he's glad he got the change, but he didn't want to leave them. So he obviously, you want to have a one-up on your better on your former team, and he's got it now, but he's not going to be like dancing in the halls and calling up his brother being like, yeah. His brother plays for the other team, by the way.
I was going to say, he doesn't seem like the vindictive kind.
No, he doesn't. It's funny, he was talking about, and I have to thank Tia for this. The Tia did a lot of the translation for him. He being Aturatu, did an interview for Red Bull, who does the U20 sponsor type thing. He's the U20 player of the month again in December. And he did a big interview with them. And he talked about going back to Carpot for the first time and playing like, I'm glad there wasn't a lot of fans there because it kind of would have been distracting, and to a point where I might have made a pass to my brother because he's so used to it, or like gone into the Carpot bench because I'm so used to it. But because there's no fans kind of like adding that extra layer of emotion, it wasn't that hard for me to get into the groove of the game and just win. They did that twice, by the way.
Good for them. But that would have been so funny, though, like if he just hopped on the wrong bench or something, just out of habit. Because that's something I could totally see myself doing, just as a creature of habit. Like, I can't tell you how many times, like, so, I mean, you're obviously not from Long Island, but I'm assuming a big portion of our listenership is. When I had my old job, I'm driving on the Southern State, I would always have to hop off and take the Seaford Oyster Bay exit. And, like, anytime I was driving on the Southern State, like, I just... muscle memory, I'd want to like start getting over and be like, okay, exit 28A is coming up, it's time to hop on the Seaford Oyster Bay. But it's like, no, you dope, you're not going to work today, you're going to, you know, somewhere else. So I could like totally would happen to me.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm kind of the same way, so I'm glad that didn't happen, so good for him. But that's all I've got for the prospect update. Is there any prospect you had any questions on?
No, really, we covered the big one, the big story. That's what I wanted to hear more on, but I kind of figured that we're just wait and see mode. It's not like we really have any info on it.
Yeah, I'm constantly looking. I'm refreshing Twitter. I'm doing searches. I'm contacting people I know. As far as the people I've contacted, no one knows anything yet. Now, that could obviously change. And of course, we will find out what happened exactly. Hopefully, it's something positive. I'm holding out hope it's something positive.
Absolutely. So with that, shall we do a quiz?
Let's do it. As we do every week, there's a mystery New York Islander player for you, Matt, and you at home to guess. You have 5 clues to guess who this player is. They get progressively easier, I hope, as we go. Matt, are you ready?
Yes, let's do it.
First one, I was drafted in the 9th round.
Okay, next.
2, I made the Isles out of camp.
Okay, next.
Yeah, so the implication there is that he wasn't necessarily a foreshore player when he was on the team that year. 3, I have 223 points in 304 games with the Islanders. So pretty darn good player.
Yes, yeah. Who the hell could it be? 9th round pick? Okay, I don't have a guess yet.
4, I played with Tavares a lot. Like a lot.
Was drafted by the Islanders. Franz Nielsen?
Incorrect. So like played with directly, not like on the same team type of thing.
Okay. Oh no, and Franz is a second. I was just trying to think of like people from that era where there were 9 rounds. Okay.
5, I was traded for Vanek.
Oh, Matt Molson.
Correct.
Okay.
He was a 9th round pick by the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Okay.
And then, yeah, he was signed by the Islanders as a free agent, and then he made the team out of camp and never looked back since.
See, that was my own fault. I was thinking of guys drafted by the Islanders. I wasn't even thinking like Matt Molson.
Ah, there you go. And the reason he came to mind is just the Bridgeport Islanders who beat the Hershey Bears. He wasn't playing, but the Hershey Bears is where he's at, so I just thought of him.
Okay. And he just recovered from surgery, right?
That's right. So that's why he wasn't playing, but I thought of him.
Okay, there we go. I love Matt Molson. He was one of my favorites.
Man, good guy, good player, so good things going on there. Do you want to do social now?
Yeah, let's do it. What do we got going around on Isles Twitter this week?
First one here from Jacqueline, I'm going to say, J-A-C-L-I-N, or L-Y-N, I'm sorry. Just Jacqueline X Laurie. Me showing up to the next, so obviously this is on Twitter. Me showing up to the next Isles game after waiting so long, and it's like this old lady with her walker, like, stepping out, like, oh, God. And then all the replies to that, it's been 84 years. Like, that gif of the Titanic lady.
Yeah.
And it's all different people. All different people retweeting with the same, or replying with the same gif. And she's not wrong, right? 3 games in 24 days. Ridiculous.
No, and I have two, so I'll go with the one that's kind of similar to piggyback off that. This is from Nightvine on Twitter. It says, I have aged a year since the Isles have last played a game. It's true. It feels like forever, man. Like, as we said, was it 2 games in 24 days or 3 in 24? It's just like, it's hard to get into a rhythm. It feels like I haven't watched them in forever.
Right, and we're 3 months into the season and we haven't watched them forever. These are the dog days of the season. That's like, we're supposed to be getting bored because there's so much hockey going on. There's no hockey happening.
None. No, I'm craving it. It feels like it's the start of the season all over again.
It really does. Insane. Like, God. There's been so much off time since COVID. Right, we had that first really long break, the second long break, and now the breaks within the breaks.
Three.
Ridiculous.
They got to be the only team in the league with 3 breaks, right?
I think so, yeah. It's insane. It's why they're the team with the least amount of games played, right?
It's wild. It's absolutely wild. What else did you have?
I got something from @hockey_samurai, who says, Danny Potvin with a hip check on Guy Lafleur, a lost art. And it's a picture here, and you can see Danny, and then you see Guy Lafleur upside down, face on the ice, eyes like, oh, bad eye. His pack of smokes, I'm sure, is falling out somewhere. He loves smoking on the bench, Guy Lafleur did. And just skates all the way up in the air. Danny's got like a kind of face on him. Love it. Absolutely love it, mainly because it's Danny.
Of course, but still, that's epic. My last one is from the account is David954Florida. And I'm sure most people have seen the video, but the caption to this says, I think Kodak found something better to do at the Panthers game. So, yeah, how about what's your thoughts on the Kodak Black situation?
So it turns out she was dancing, right? Like there's a close-up video.
Yes.
My only question is, who dances like that? And not her. I'm not blaming her here. Him. How dances in the position that he's in? He's not just standing there. Usually when that kind of dance is happening, I don't know the proper terms. I don't want to speak like random words here. When someone dances like that, the person behind them is usually standing still or at least kind of like dancing along with it. This guy's leaned over almost 90 degrees. Who does that?
Yeah, I think he was holding himself up. That's what it looked like now.
Was he that drunk that he could, like, was she trying to prop him up with her butt? Is that what was happening here? Hey, Kodak, I got to get you up, and this is the only way I know how to do it?
could be, but yeah, that was a fun, like, I don't know, however long where people thought they were doing something else.
Yeah, and like the Florida Panthers press box is right next to them too.
It's just the video from like the far one all the way across is just an all-time video because it's, you see the crowd and then you zoom in and see that and then they zoom back out. It's just ridiculous.
All I can think of was like the row of teenagers backing them going like, how do they, I can understand how section 425, I guess not many sections in Florida, 225 in Florida might not hear that. But the row next to it, they got to be like someone even from like the peripheral vision, like what the hell is going on over there?
Yeah, something's not right over here.
Unbelievable stuff there.
Did you have anything else?
My last one here comes from Will Shirushi. I'm sorry, Will, if I mispronounced that. Who says, my dad, what did you get now? Rolls eyes. He says, me, an autographed Al Arbor photo. Dad, who? Apparently dad's not a hockey fan. How much did you pay for that? And he says, $40. To his dad's credit says, well, not to his dad's credit, actually, to his dad's discredit says, stop wasting your money on stupid things. And it's a picture of Al Arbor celebrating with the Stanley Cup with, I believe it's Danny Potvin. I'm not really sure. I can't tell exactly who the player is. But it's a signed picture of Al Arbor from, it says Hockey Hall of Fame or Hall of Fame 96. That is a damn good, for $40, that seems like a damn good deal you got there, Will. I would not be pissed about that at all. That is a great purchase.
Yeah, no, not at all. for especially for $40, I thought you were going to give me a number like, I don't know, in the hundreds.
Yeah, well, I've been looking into Pokemon cards recently. Just like, anyways, it's the whole thing. And like the values are like wild. So I thought like this is going to be super expensive. $40? Heck yeah. 40 American dollars too? That's like $20,000 Canadian.
I love it. But I would say worth your while. Hang that up somewhere nice and keep that where you see it. That's a cool picture.
Yeah, right where Dad can see it all the time. Whenever he walks by, he'll be like, ugh. And he shudders, but you know that it's worth more than that, at least emotionally.
Yeah, it's basically art. People pay more than that for art.
Absolutely, 100%. So, good job, Will.
Sweet. All right, so before we go, let's get some plugs in here. Wherever you listen to the show, please make sure to subscribe, give a rating and a review. Really helps out a lot. We appreciate all the love and support. You could also subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/eyesonisles. You get a mailbag show, which we're about to record right after this. You get post-game shows once games actually are played. You get an off-season summer series, which is a whole lot of fun, a Discord channel with Islanders fans. It's a good time over there.
It is. We got 9 questions in the mailbag, which is more than I thought we'd get, considering how few games have been played recently. But we've got some mailbagging to do. And so you at home, sign up now, get in on that mailbag glory and the Discord. What are you talking about now in the Discord? Oh, right. Spiz sent us a picture of an ice cleaner or a Zamboni machine, if you will, on the highway. And he asked me how fast that goes. And I quoted him a kilometers per hour. And then we got into a long discussion about how, you know, they're not Canadian. So anyways, good old times happening in the Discord.
Yes, it's usually a blast over there. Do we do Twitter? Twitter, Eyes on Isles FS, my Twitter, Matt O'Leary, NY, Mitch, TLO, Mitch, Facebook, facebook.com, Eyes on Isles, website, eyesonisles.com, and the fan-sided app. That's all the places you can get us.
Perfect. That's all of them.
Love it. Thank you so much for tuning in. Appreciate it as always. Once again, I'm Matt O'Leary. He is Mitch Anderson, and we will catch you next time.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.